Stamford, Connecticut to Tokyo, Japan, from the Florida Everglades to Mexico City, and wherever pile drivers, power bombs, and high spots are taking place.
Nothing gives us! It's about to pick up!
This is Pro Wrestling Talk without the PG filter. This is Calf Crusher Radio.
Oh my God!
Here are your hosts, Mike, Hammy, and King.
And with that, we welcome you live to an all-new Calf Crusher Radio. My name is Hammy. Joining me in studio is, as always, Michael, no longer hipster punchy, Falcone. Good evening, sir.
Good evening.
And joining us via the Alexa Bliss fan club is none other than Mr. King himself, not Triple H, John King. King, you buddy, you there, buddy?
I am here. And boy, Lex's butt looks good this week. By the way,
and the Alexa Bliss perv clock is at a minute 42 seconds.
I'm just saying, you know, just from if we're gonna push that, if that's how we're gonna do things, fine. But it was extra jiggly this week. Anyway, lots to talk about this week.
There certainly is. But I want to address something real quick. We've all
found your plans to kill Wesley Blake.
We have, and we need to report you to the authorities.
Just unfortunate accidents seem to happen around him. It's not my fault. I don't know what's going on.
Well, unfortunate accident, you mean his booking? he's the Mark Merrow in that relationship.
Oh, God, yeah. Not even close.
All right, so I need to address a little something here. So... I'll just cut right to the chase. Last week, YouTube, we uploaded all of last week's show in video form to YouTube, and I got an email notification saying that that it contained copyrighted content, which it did. We've played a couple WWE clips, among other things. But I then got another email saying that it is now blocked in all countries, meaning... Unless you had the login and password for our YouTube channel with all zero subscribers because I just made it, you can't look at our video on YouTube. You can't look at our episode in YouTube form last week. And the reason is because there was a claim by WWE on the video where you guys remember last week we played the segment involving Samoa Joe and Paul Heyman where Joe put Heyman in that
cookie in a clutch.
Yeah. That, I can't talk.
Cocaine clutch.
Cocaine, yes. Crack cocaine clutch. So, Joe put him in the cocaine clutch, and we talked for several minutes about how awesome that segment was, and we discussed how the booking would affect the match. I want to get something off my chest, because I was going to go on tonight, admittedly, and just be a passive-aggressive piece of shit tonight.
Yes, you were.
Because I was legitimately heated. I was really annoyed. And the reason for that is, first and foremost, I am disputing this copyright claim. And for the sole purpose of, we are filed under something called the Fair Use Clause of the Copyright Law. And to explain to all of you what that is in layman's terms and simple, because God knows you guys don't want to watch us, me at least, complain for this podcast.
I listen to Calf Crusher Radio for the legal discussions.
Yes, yes, as you should. I'm going to get the People's Court music playing in the background, but that's copyrighted, so I can't. So, basically... My whole case to YouTube, which I described in very discreet detail, first off, what copyright law is, guys, if you make a film, I'm going camping for the weekend. If I make a film about camping and up to Lake George, if I make a film about that and post it on YouTube, which I will, that is what's called intellectual property. It is my creation that I'm putting up on public domains for people to view. I can try to make a copyright claim if someone just flat out steals it and tries to republish it as their own, but it is technically not copyrighted. It is just intellectual property. Copyrighted is what you'd send to the government to get a legal piece of paper that says that work is copyrighted. What fair use is, and what us podcasters do and what a lot of YouTubers do is we are the fair. You see me, I am a very black and white person. I am. It either is or isn't. And if it's not is, it has to be isn't. And if it isn't, it has to be is. It's either yes or no. There is no gray area in my way of thinking.
Apparently, Hammy's sentence structure isn't.
Yes. Yes. Black and white area here. I did not pass English class with flying colors. Anyhow, where we file under fair use is if we take a small snippet of copyrighted content and we are not distributing it as our own creation, aka Monday Night Raw, that is obviously not our creation, that is WWE's creation. We can take a segment, though, from it, especially if it's published on WWE's public YouTube channel, which is what that clip was. And if we're commenting on it in a educational purpose, if we are a nonprofit organization, or if we are doing it for the sole purpose of public comment and intelligent-ish criticism and commentary, that it files under fair use. And that is exactly what we did last week.
Right. So we're not doing it as a republishing or, hey, watch this if you couldn't watch it on,
correct,
you know, USA Network. We're broadcasting it to you. That's not what we're doing.
Precisely. And my whole frustration, to put it mildly, is there are several YouTubers out there. I'm not going to name drop, but they are the hackiest of hack channels that put themselves in a lower third and put entire episodes of content behind them, and they just film themselves reacting to it. I despise reaction videos. I fucking hate every single one of them. There are a lot of YouTubers out there who just film themselves and then crop their frame behind an entire episode of content, and that's perfectly okay on YouTube. But yet a podcast like us, who uses a clip and does commentary on it, is not okay. And I understand it is WWE's content. They are free to make a claim wherever they want. I'm not disputing that. What I am disputing with YouTube is how come what we did gets flagged and removed, yet I can look up on YouTube any moment from the Attitude Era in full, like full uncut, unedited, not released by WWE, and it has millions of views on YouTube. That's my frustration. If it either is all okay to the fair use or it isn't. We are fair use. What these assholes do is just take full episodes and just comment on it. How do you think it? PewDiePie, perfect example. He got famous by playing video games and making funny sound effects on his camera. That's how he got famous. I'm not saying that what he's doing is not funny or whatever. What he does now is pretty awesome in my opinion, but how he got famous is nothing short of reaction videos and commenting on other people's creations. So if he's allowed to become as famous as he is and his videos are allowed to be published on YouTube, I'd find it very unfair that us as a podcast, we get flagged and our videos removed. That's all I'm going to say.
Okay, so I've got a couple of rebuttals here, Hammy. You are so black and white with things that it's almost to the point of stubbornness.
I am not denying
now,
this.
The difference, and here's the thing, the difference with the people who do the commentating, like the commentating the segments during YouTube, they're talking over everything that's going on.
We were.
So,
our mics were on, we commented.
But because the screen is smaller, and I've noticed a lot of people either will lower the volume, mute the volume, or just, like, now, distort it, like almost Alvin and the Chipmunk.
Well, then, okay.
To change that, though, but to throw my hat in the ring on this one, no, because there was that one, and I actually went and looked her up after we had our conversation when we first had learned that our video was blocked and taken down by YouTube. So I went and looked up this chick that we were talking about, and she had just done from that week before the same clip that we had commented on, the Brock the Samoa Joe and Paul Heyman clip, where she put herself in a tiny little box in the bottom of the screen and had the rest of the clip there. The audio wasn't distorted or lowered, really. You could hear everything that was going on.
Just her accent, which is thick.
She didn't really say or do anything. I mean, I'm not going to argue that what she did isn't fair use. She commented over something. It's not the same thing we do here as far as the podcast or what a radio show would do with the same thing. It's purely a YouTube thing with the whole reaction video, whatever. But in general, it should fall under the same rules. She's speaking over it. She's not rebroadcasting it to show people, you know, for that purpose to make a profit off it. She's adding her own commentary. She's trying to do like a Mystery Science Theater thing with WWE. Fine. That's fine. That's okay.
I'm not disputing your right to do that. But what I am saying is,
why is it okay for her to be able to do that on the same week that it airs, but us who are doing like a legitimate commentary on it, legitimate trying to figure, you know, we're not making fun of it. We're not doing a Mystery Science Theater thing with it. We're trying to, you know, dissect, you know, okay, this is great, but what does this mean as far as booking wise? What does this look forward to as far as this, that, how does Samoa Joe now look at it? Like, we're actually doing like a proper radio show, entertainment show would do, but we're getting flagged, but they're not. It's that kind of
I honestly think I think there are some channels that probably get a little more leeway than others because they've become like big enough where they're on WWE's radar.
That chick is nowhere near close. If you have a million viewers, and so here's the thing. What culture has a million viewers and they still get hit with stuff? Like, they can't put any videos for WWE on. They do the pictures, but even when they do the pictures, they make sure that they're correctly credited and attributed on the bottom now, which they used to not do. But I guess they got caught with that. So, I mean, here you go. You have a big channel that basically has to run through all these things to make sure that they can't, that they're not getting hit, that they're not getting pegged. But these people who have like either 25,000 or, you know, 10,000 less sometimes subscribers are able to do this. Now, I think it's kind of the other way where they're small enough to where they're flying under the radar. Nobody cares.
I mean, if you make that argument, then we shouldn't have gotten the claim against us.
That's what I mean. I don't understand it. It's a little weird. It's a little double-sided. But,
when I was in the radio business,
but seriously, when I was in radio and the copyright laws and the different kind of claims that people can use and what is fair use and what isn't, it is a very gray area. As much as Hammy is very black or very white, when it comes to stuff like this, things are, and they will continue to be in that very gray area where nobody really knows what's fair use and what isn't.
Okay, I'm looking at the profile of the person we're talking about. They've got 400,000 subscribers, but the point I was making, not to, like, well known enough that they're in the WWE kind of umbrella of like people that they deal with.
Does that chick have 400,000 subscribers?
Yeah. She also apparently like at one point worked as like a tester for Sony. So, because she does video game stuff too. So
she has that kind of personality for being a video game.
I mean,
idiot.
Look, yeah. I'm not here to criticize.
Hold on.
Screw that bitch.
Still making the point though. Almost like you get a little more leeway if you're kind of like one of the people that they're okay with. Like the reason why What Culture they probably have more subscribers than her
because they dump on them.
Whereas she's a lot more positive with her, like she's a fan reacting to what's going on and not saying, this is BS. Why are they putting this on this guy? It's like, holy shit, this
happened.
All right,
you're onto something. You're onto something because that episode title is How to Fix 205 Live, implying that we were going to speak negatively about it. And, I mean, to be fair, I full-screened the clip. And if that's the case, you know what? The problem is, I mean, we've talked about this for far long enough, and we need to move on. But I guess from now on, I'll put the fair use copyright clause in the beginning of the video right before the episode start, before we upload on YouTube.
I want to do some fourth wall breaking. Speaking of content of the show, is months ago, Handmaid mentioned, hey, you know, maybe we should not be so negative of the product. We want to get in their umbrella. What's happened since? We've become more negative about the
product. We're just a couple hater smarks, according to Roman Reigns. All right, moving on. We've talked about this long enough. Moving on, top story of the week is not even involving wrestling. It is the single...
Calm down, King. Calm down.
It is the
yeah, shocking.
It is the single biggest combat sports fight in the history of mankind, and I'll go ahead and say it right now. Floyd Mayweather versus Conor McGregor. It is official. August 26, 2017, Las Vegas, Nevada, at the T-Mobile Arena, and this is going to be the biggest circus I have ever seen in my life, and I've been to Wrigley Brothers. Mike, what is going on with this?
You mean Ringling Brothers?
Yeah, that's right, man. Not Wrigley. I'm thinking the gum. God damn it.
Hey, you know how Hammy says ing words?
Oh,
it's his disability. You monster.
I'm the Eugene of the show.
You monster. You monster among men.
I'm not finished with you, Hammy.
King.
I'm da 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 da.
You know this.
That's copyright infringement.
No, it's parody. Fuck yourself. I know my loopholes too.
So, Mayweather McGregor, this fight is going to happen. At this time last year, I never thought we would actually see this happen. I thought this was going to be nothing but a publicity stunt, and that never happens. But sure enough, a couple days ago, I get the notification that Mayweather books the venue for August 26th, and we're like, what the hell is this about? Sure enough, today, all over Twitter, the MMA and boxing world is going crazy. And I know we are a pro wrestling podcast, but my God, this is bigger than anything we can ever do. Mayweather versus McGregor. And going at this from a wrestling perspective, the buildup to this is going to be amazing.
Yeah, I mean, let's be honest. It's the two guys in their sports, in their sport, respective sports, who are at like pro wrestling level in terms of trash talk and hyping a match.
Mike skills, there's no one better than either of these guys.
Yeah, like
he seems like he should be in wrestling. There were rumors for a while that he was going to go to WWE after his MMA career was done. And I would love to see that still simply because of his mic work. Conor McGregor's mic work put CM Punk to shame. I mean, the guy is just fantastic on the mic.
Can you just imagine the tattoo off between Conor and Aleister Black?
I'm so excited for this. And I know Hammy doesn't like it because I'm one of the super obnoxious Conor fans.
Oh, you just say Irish.
I'm half Irish, so you gotta go. Come on, can't let the home country boy go down. Hey, today.
You guys are bigger homers than Michael Kay talking about the Yankees.
Oh God, listen. Because here's the thing, from completely objective standpoint, Conor doesn't really have a chance in this fight. Floyd Mayweather is the greatest of all time for a reason. Maybe I mean you have one or two other people you could probably have any argument there, but. I mean, when Floyd is in the top three discussion, if not top two discussion, of best boxers all time, Conor doesn't have a chance. Does it, from just a pure fan standpoint, I don't care. Conor, baby, let's go. Kick his ass, Irishman.
This is how, I mean, it's no secret where I work. I work for an MMA, and I work for an MMA-themed radio station. This fight is making me have to cheer for an illiterate woman beater. I have to cheer for Floyd Mayweather.
By the way, the strategy.
Have to, quote unquote. Oh boy, I have to root for this guy.
Have to because I care about the legacy of boxing. Because if McGregor.
Since when have you been into boxing?
Yes, because the legacy
since
of
I got
boxing
hired
is
at this job.
Better with a woman beater who can't read his belt says world champion and he can't even read it. He doesn't know what it says.
Hey, that should have been McGregor's strategy. Put that there was an MMA match in the contract and make McGregor Mayweather read it.
That I'm sure he probably could read.
He's like, oh, it says boxing match. Just sign it, okay?
No, but
what's
I don't know. I don't know if you guys. King is an annoying McGregor fan, but King, with all due respect, you are a rookie compared to what I see with McGregor fans on Twitter, on Facebook.
No.
Let's just say this, Conor McGregor fans make me want to yell Tom Terrific, wear a number 12 jersey and say, go Pats, for the next 10 years. I would rather see Roman Reigns versus John Cena main event WrestleMania every year for the next 10 years
than deal
with McGregor fans if he pulls us off. Because you know what? This is a win-win. This is a win-win for him. If he lasts more than four rounds with Mayweather, that's it. MMA guy, no real boxing experience, comes in, stands up to you, and gives you a fight.
What you mean?
He wins, it's like, hey, MMA guy came in and beat you. You're now 49-1, and I'm the one. I'm the one in 49-1.
Well, Hammy, you mean? Hammy, you're not looking forward to the victory parties if he wins, where it's all boiled foods and bad beer.
So Boston on a Saturday, then.
That's stereotypical and racist. How dare you?
And also true,
sir. But here's the thing:
I will enjoy some corned beef, though.
Conor McGregor's won no matter what. If he gets knocked out in 10 seconds, who cares? He's going to have the biggest payday. I think they said it's something like three times the most that he's ever gotten in UFC he'll be getting for this fight. So for this fight, if he walks off to win, Floyd Mayweather hits him one punch, knocks him out, he still wins.
Oh, he wins no matter what. He wins no matter what.
He wins because that bank account is $50 million richer.
Oh, God. And then after that, he can either go back to UFC and defend his belt after 2 years or whatever the hell long it's been, or he can just go and do whatever the hell he wants. He can go to WWE. He can sit at home and have sex with his wonderfully, amazingly gorgeous wife who just popped out a kid. I mean, he can do whatever he wants. I mean, this is such a like the whole thing about, well, why is Conor doing this, or why would Floyd give him the chance? Because there is so much money, and you know Dana White's got his grubby little fingers in there too. So everybody's winning from this. There's the only losers might be us who pay the money to see the pay per view, but I don't care. It's worth it just to see. It's got that correct kind of feel. What's gonna happen? King, let's get drunk and let's watch it. That's all.
King,
you know?
You're paying for it.
Somebody who I know will pay for it, and I'll go watch it with them.
You know someone who would pay for it?
Yes. Yes, I do. I have somebody who's as obnoxious a Conor fan as I am, and they've been looking forward to this. So they've already said that they're going to set it up. They have everything ready to go for when this happens. So, it's my birthday weekend. So,
King, is that person a moderator for First Row Sports?
Oh, believe it or not. Oh, God.
No, King is the Bleacher Seat Sports. That's the King Network. But man, guys, we spent like almost one third of the whole show talking about nothing but wrestling. So let's think of this from a pro wrestling standpoint. McGregor is definitely going to have the upper hand with promos. Mayweather just needs to put his name on it, and he's done with promoting. The first thing he did was tweet out, it's official, with a picture of him next to Floyd Sr., Floyd Mayweather Sr., to make fun of the fact that Mayweather is old as shit. He is going to spew venom like I've never seen him spew venom before. He has said to Dana White that he 100% believes that he can win, and he's going to win. The man is as confident of a person as I have ever seen in my life. And to his credit, let's bring this to pro wrestling for a minute here.
Is that the official poster?
It's one of them. It's on Showtime, which means Mar Rinaldo is going to call this fight too, which is something I'm going to be very excited to
Even witness. Think about that.
Oh,
it's
God.
It's so cool. Can I? I'll pose one more question here about this, and it's wrestling related as well. Who do you think will end up lasting longer, CM Punk against Mickey Gall or Conor McGregor versus Floyd Mayweather?
See, here's the thing.
Okay, I got an answer for that. Conor McGregor, because he has the cardio to chase around Mayweather for 12 rounds.
But here's the thing. On that aspect, I don't think Conor's going to be that kind of guy that like dances around. Conor's that kind of obnoxious. He's going to run right into him. He's going to run and try to hit him, which is going to be his downfall because Floyd will just light him up.
But here's the thing. Like,
that's just Conor's thing.
A lot of boxing guys have been saying Floyd doesn't have the punching power he used to.
It doesn't matter. The object of boxing, unlike MMA, is to hit and not get hit. And Mayweather still has it.
Well, they were
he still
saying,
has
like,
that ability.
If McGregor can get in there, he stands a puncher's chance because Mayweather doesn't exactly have the punching
ability.
He's
got to keep him at arm's length. He's kind of got to like jab him to death. But again, is that what Conor's going to do, or is Conor going to go, ah, fuck this asshole, and go
hey,
run up?
Hey, hey, I use technique. Hey, hey.
Who the fuck is that guy? You know, so, I mean, I'm excited to get drunk and watch this. That's really the biggest thing. I mean, it's going to be my birthday weekend. This whole thing is just basically built around get together with your friends, let's get hammered, and let's see what the hell happens.
And let's be honest, this fight makes more sense for McGregor than for Mayweather.
Oh, absolutely.
Because McGregor wins either way. He stepped up, he went into Mayweather's sport and went at him. He loses nothing if he loses his fight.
The only way Floyd loses is if Floyd loses or it takes him a few rounds to lose. The only way Floyd wins is if he knocks McGregor out in the first round.
No, you know what? Floyd doesn't
win. It's really
win.
The only way he wins.
No, there's no way Floyd wins because even if he knocks him out in the first round, like, well, you know.
That was expected. What did you expect was going to happen?
You know, you had mixed martial arts going into boxing.
So at best it'll be a push. So yeah, that's true. Floyd can't win. It's either a push or he loses.
Yeah, like, and not just like it's a ding to the legacy. It could literally be catastrophic to his legacy if he loses this match.
If he loses it, no, absolutely. But I mean, again, that, you know, $100 million help soften that blow a little bit.
Oh yeah.
He don't give a shit about breaking the record. He doesn't care.
He goes, oh, they're paying McGregor $50 million. I placed a $50 million bet 2 weeks ago in the NBA Finals.
Mayweather, I can't read nothing but checks.
Yeah, Mayweather can go a night gambling and bet McGregor's salary per hand at blackjack. Like, Mayweather shits $100 bills. You think he doesn't care? He's going to make 100 mil easy from this. Yeah. I believe that is his purse, 100 mil.
What you just say about Mayweather betting, it makes him the Michael Jordan of boxing.
Here, Floyd Mayweather is the real-life million-dollar man. He just walks around. He just throws money at people. He's like, I could buy you. You know, he's got a white guy next to him with the cutoff tuxedo sleeves pretending like he's Virgil.
All right.
You know, it's all different.
All right. Here's a question. And okay. What is more entertaining, Mayweather versus McGregor or Mayweather selling versus the Big Show at WrestleMania?
Oh, God.
Which is going to be more entertaining?
I do love that the Big Show got more offense in his match with Mayweather
than CM Punk did against Mickey Gall.
No, than Pacquiao got in his match against Mayweather.
That is fair.
Dancing fest. That Dancing with the Stars. That was terrible. I honestly think this will be entertaining, if nothing for the fact that even if it is quick, even if it's, you know, for whatever it might be, and then God forbid it actually is entertaining. It's the event itself that's going to be fun. Everything around it, the people hanging around with each other, it's going to be like a midsummer Super Bowl. You know what I mean? That's kind of what this has the feeling of.
How hilarious would it be?
Than Mayweather Pacquiao was. That's the fight that everybody wanted, and I think they waited too long to have that fight.
10 years this almost
has a build, a feel to it that's bigger than Mayweather Pacquiao was.
How hilarious would it be though, if like McGregor's winning on points, and then muscle memory just kicks in and he throws a kick or does a takedown?
God, what a great heel move that would be. Knows he's losing to Mayweather and just fucking shin kicks him. Oh, great. And just get disqualified. He don't care.
Then
he knows that Dana White's going to bring him right back and fight Nate Diaz again.
Yeah.
He'll do that, and then he'll take the boxing gloves off, but underneath the boxing gloves, he'll have the MMA UFC gloves on there.
Yeah!
And then
all of a sudden,
like, you know, oh, dude, that'd be great.
All of a sudden, heel Connor, it sounds
King,
pretty
King
cool.
King would be like, yeah, we're beating up Mayweather, us Irish.
Yes, whenever the
Let's
Irish...
Let's go boil some pizzas. Hey, get the steaks out, put them in the boiling water.
You really are a walking stereotype, yeah. King. Fucking Notre Dame cheering ass.
Oh, what a wicked... He hit him with that wicked Irish right. Only the Irish got that right, you know? He's like that, but then he goes with the southpaw kind of hook. Oh,
hey,
awesome.
Hey, I used to like the Notre Dame Fighting Irish, but then they started going with those people for the quarterbacks.
Oh, Jesus. All right. Pump the brakes. All right.
It's all right. Let's support his favorite beer. He's got a Guinness poster in the background.
Yes. That is my. It's not a poster. It's a plaque. It's a wooden plaque.
Oh, even worse!
Carved from genuine Irish wood, just like the Guinness label. So
you're not,
you know,
helping yourself there, buddy.
Let's get it right, please.
I only wash myself with Irish Spring. Thank you very much.
I'm an old friend. Are you serious? King can't afford Irish Spring.
No, I, first of all, Old Spice is more expensive than Irish Spring. I'll have you know, they, good sir.
They accept WIC for Irish Spring.
Not in Donald Trump's America. They soon won't be.
Hey, listen, listen.
If you're poor, fuck you.
Listen. You don't have to pay anything as long as you, you know how to shoplift correctly. Don't listen to this show, kids. Pay no attention to that. Stay in school and pay for your debt.
All right, let's get back on track. So, with that, let's actually talk some wrestling, because we spent more than half the show not talking about wrestling. Let's talk some wrestling. Money in the Bank is this Sunday.
Sunday.
Rawr! Monster Jam. We have two Money in the Bank ladder matches. We have the women's Money in the Bank ladder match and the SmackDown men's Money in the Bank ladder match. Now, let's talk about the women first. Who do we think makes the most sense to walk out of Money in the Bank victorious with the women's Money in the Bank ladder match?
Okay, so that match is a weird one because there's two obvious choices, Becky and Charlotte, but I think they're not going to go with the obvious choice for this one, because if you look at the original one, Edge was not the obvious first winner. Going into that, I honestly think they're either giving it to Natty or Carmella.
I'm going to say, if I can jump on here real quick, I think
no, Alexa's not in the match.
I know, I wish.
You're only one of the three co-hosts, so yeah, go.
First of all, shut up, asshole. Second of all, I think it depends on how they do with what happens with the booking, which way they're going to go. I don't think, nor do I think they should have Lana win the women's championship on Sunday against Naomi. I thought she should have been booked in the ladder match itself, however they were going to do that. But
now you needed someone to push their stupid 30-day defense thing that they only occasionally follow when it's convenient to them.
Right.
There needed to be a women's title defense.
So they're going to do that. So whatever that is, fine. But I think if Naomi wins, which I think Naomi should win, then I think you kind of have that situation where it's probably going to be more of a heel winning. So in that sense, I would actually probably say Carmella. I think Carmella of the heels in this match probably have the she's the best choice from there. And to me, I think the most obvious choice as far as right now. I mean, Natty is, she is what she is. I mean, she's good for maybe selling the Total Divas stuff. But outside of that, Tamina, no. That's no.
I think she's going to be there just to take a big spot.
Yeah.
She is what she is. Whoa, what was that? I think then if you have, if Lana does win, then I think it opens it up. Then I can see Becky winning or Charlotte winning. I can actually see Charlotte winning no matter who wins that title, whether it's face or heel. I think Charlotte can be the Money in the Bank winner no matter who the women's champion is.
I think they'll hold off on Charlotte, though, sniffing the title scene for a while.
I think so, too.
Could you imagine Irish people if Becky Lynch wins Money in the Bank and Mayweather loses to McGregor?
They were kind of like that when McGregor first won his title in UFC. I think Sheamus had won the WWE championship that same weekend. So it kind of became like a huge thing. And all of a sudden it's like, oh, all the Irish people in the world.
Let's be honest, though. In pro wrestling, the Irish pride is shining more when Balor won because he looks like just the wiry Irishman.
He's wiry. Look at him. He's wiry.
Wiry. The only weapon we have, and is the best company of him, is he's wiry.
Wiry.
I think Charlotte, I think you're right there. Charlotte makes too much sense for them to do it. So I think the person who would benefit the most, honestly, the person I think who benefits the most from this match is Carmella.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Natalya has been there, I completely agree with you, Kane. She's there to be the workhorse in the match. Tamina no. Becky Lynch has already seen the spotlight as a champion, and we all know Charlotte Flair. So I think the for me, who makes the most sense, and honestly, who deserves a time in the spotlight because she's carrying the pimple on my ass, James Ellsworth, with her.
Ellsworth is doing a hell of a job as her valet. I will hear no besmirching of Mr. Ellsworth every week.
Whoa, 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 whoa! Duh.
Guys, if you want to co-host Calf Crusher Radio, you can tweet us at Calf Crusher Pod. Our spot just opened.
Wait,
no,
for who? King or myself?
You, I'm stuck with. King, we can get rid of. Thanks for the logos, buddy.
You can hit a button and I'm gone.
No, I honestly believe that Carmella is the most deserving in this, and honestly, that's who I'm going to go with.
I think, like, okay, when you're doing a Money in the Bank, the objective of Money in the Bank should be to elevate a talent to the next level of the card.
I think Carmella's ready.
And it works best if a heel cashes in on a face champion.
That's what I'm thinking, since I don't think they're taking a belt off Naomi. And
against Lana, honestly, no.
The briefcase to me was always kind of like, let's see how somebody can carry themselves with it's almost like a way of having somebody carry a strap without them having the strap. So it was kind of like a test phase to see how do they carry themselves? Do they carry themselves like a winner, like a champion? Do they look good with that kind of air about them? I think that was always the point of Money in the Bank.
Yeah, and usually that person...
That's what they're going to do with Carmella here is to kind of let's test those waters with her and see if she has that ability to carry herself like a champion.
And usually that leads to them getting the title, unless you're Damian Sandow.
Mm, yeah, poor Damian.
But I think here's what I think happens for the cash-in as well, because I think Carmella wins it. I think she wins it. It's not a quick cash-in. Like, she'll probably have the briefcase for a few months.
Oh, this is definitely not a quick burn there.
I'll even say that there's a heel transitional champ for a little bit between Naomi and either Becky Lynch or Charlotte, probably. One of them wins the title from said heel transitional champ, and then Carmella cashes in.
I'm interested to see how it goes down. I'm interested to see how they book this. I'm interested to see where Lana fits on this. I think the biggest thing for me on Sunday when it comes to the women is maybe not even so much the Money in the Bank. I want to see what Lana has done and how she has progressed in ring and if she's able to hang in a match and if she's able to pull off some moves, if she's able to help carry the match, if she's able to look like she belongs in there and doesn't look, you know, stiff or weird or, you know, clunky or anything like that. I'm kind of really interested to see how that goes down. Because from what everybody said, she has really worked her ass off. She has worked really hard, worked with good people down at the Performance Center. She's been working, you know, trying to get a lot better than just being the valet, which is the reason why WWE called her up from there so quickly. So I don't think she didn't get that full amount of training down there that I think she should have gotten. That's the biggest thing. That's my biggest question mark going in is how is Lana going to look during this pay-per-view?
That's my biggest question going into it. I mean, I'm suspecting Naomi's going to retain here, but
yeah,
biggest question going into this match is what you just said, Kane. How much has Lana improved? Do we still want to see her in the ring after this? And what exactly is next for Lana after this?
Honestly,
I don't see her walking out of there. I mean, it'll be a legit shock, and I don't think it'll make sense. It won't be a good shock if Lana walks out the women's champion. But, the biggest question I have is, how much has Lana improved? Yeah.
I'll be honest, we won't know this match. Naomi's not bad in the ring at this point. Like, she's gotten to where she's average as a wrestler. She's got a flashy style, which helps. Cover a little bit of that.
Good.
Yeah,
I think she's good enough. I agree with you that I think her move set maybe helps disguise some of her shortcomings. But I think overall she has, and as much as I'm not a big Naomi fan, I'm not. But she's over with the crowd. As much as I may not like her, everybody else does. So I recognize that.
She's got a memorable entrance as well, which I think helps a lot of wrestlers.
She's got the whole package, in my opinion.
Entrance and she's got the crowd behind her, and she's a good champion. She's a good champion for when they took Alexa Bliss away from SmackDown. And again, I know Alexa Bliss. Seriously though,
well, we already hit the Bliss perv clock tonight, so you're free to talk about
being pervy about Bliss.
You're on overtime now.
In a serious manner though, when they took Bliss away from SmackDown, they didn't, outside of Becky Lynch, they didn't really have somebody to be that you know, that flag bearer for the SmackDown brand of champion, other than like Becky Lynch, but she had already had
it. But they have Charlotte Flair now.
Yeah, they have Charlotte Flair now, but again, she came over from Raw, and I, you know, am I wrong in kind of maybe my feeling about this is a little off, but does Charlotte seem like too big for SmackDown? Like, do you get that feeling about her?
I think she's perfect. I think she's going to be the perfect old school veteran. She's a veteran at this point. She's definitely the face and the leader of that women's locker room on SmackDown. I think all the other women look up to her as a pinnacle of what women's wrestling should be. And a lot of women's wrestlers outside of WWE look at Charlotte Flair too as the face of women's wrestling.
The reason I don't think we should say is Charlotte too big for SmackDown is because we did not question whether Cena or Orton were too big for SmackDown when they were drafted there.
And I did.
We didn't, and no one really questioned it when AJ was there or when Kevin Owens was brought there.
I thought having AJ over on SmackDown was good to kind of give the brand a foundation to start off on. When they brought Cena over, I thought that's kind of an odd move, right? Because I thought Cena was too big for SmackDown. Now, granted, I think SmackDown has become either on equal footing or a better show than Raw, but. And I don't mean, I'm not even saying it from my perspective. I'm just saying it looks like, it seems like what they're trying to portray Charlotte as is that person who almost seems like she's too big for the show she's on. Like, I've been world champion. I've had all these other championships. I've been on Raw. I've main evented all these different kind of things. It seems like they're trying to make her be that I'm bigger than the show kind of character is basically what I was trying to
say. How key would it be for her, though, with the day she wins the SmackDown Women's title? Because she will have won the NXT Women's title, the same belt that Brad Maddox money shot it on.
Oh, God.
She'll have won the Divas.
Why'd you put that image back in my head?
Because you deserve it.
You deserve it.
That's why I get for talking about copyright infringement for the opening segment.
Exactly. So she won the Raw Women's title, the Divas title, the Raw Women's title, and then if she gets a SmackDown one, she'll have won every available women's title.
And then especially if she does win Money in the Bank, then she really would have won everything.
Yeah.
Everything that the women have available to win, she would have won.
Deservedly so, too.
Yeah, and I have one thing to say about Money in the Bank, by the way. I really wish this were a dual brand show.
Yeah, Money in the Bank is advertised as one of the big four pay-per-views. It should be a dual-branded pay-per-view.
A lot of people have said that, but
But no, we get Great Balls of Fire, though, with its Dick and Balls logo.
Unless they're planning on doing, like, Raw Money in the Bank at WrestleMania, like, starting from that one, which I wouldn't mind. I would actually like that to get Money in the Bank back at WrestleMania in some way, shape, or form. But if they do like a Raw Money in the Bank at WrestleMania and then SmackDown has the pay-per-view Money in the Bank, I'm okay. I'm actually okay with that. I'd like to see that happen.
I'm fine with that too, honestly. I would not mind a Raw branded Money in the Bank ladder match at WrestleMania. And hey, there's a possibility that someone can win Money in the Bank at WrestleMania and then cash in that night. Imagine that.
Yep.
They would definitely be a. It would definitely swerve us in a different direction.
It would be the second heist of the century.
Yeah. All right. Well, speaking of Money in the Bank ladder matches, let's transition to the men's Money in the Bank ladder match. United States Champion Kevin Owens, AJ Styles, Baron Corbin, Sami Zayn, Dolph Ziggler, and Shinsuke Nakamura meet in a Money in the Bank ladder match. Winner gets a championship opportunity anytime they want for the next year. I'll just start off right here. Kevin Owens is not winning this match. He's already the U.S. champion. He has a great program.
So?
He's just not. I think they're
Rob
keeping...
Van Dam had the Money in the Bank briefcase and the IC title.
But Rob Van Dam's not the face of America.
He's the new face of high times, but...
He certainly is, but Kevin Owens is a face of America. I don't think... I think they're going to keep the mid-card title on Kevin Owens for the time being.
But... there's a year to cash it. Kevin Owens can hold that briefcase for up to a year if he wins.
That is fair. He can.
So he could have that, and then once he loses the U.S., like he'd be like, I'm not going to cash it in. I have the U.S. title. I don't need to. I've got my prize. And then the second he loses the U.S. title, he can cash in the
the money. I like him better, and I think what I don't think he needs the Money in the Bank, because first of all, he has the United States title. Plus, he does want to become the face of WWE. But I think he's a lot better in that chasing role. And I mean, that's when he's gold. I mean, he's gold all the time on the mic, no matter what he does. I mean, I think Kevin Owens may be the best worker, the guy who most gets it in the WWE. But I don't think he needs the Money in the Bank briefcase to stay relevant in the main title picture. You know, he doesn't need that.
I honestly want to see him win the world, the WWE championship soon, just so that he can get a run that's not just completely botched.
And that with a belt that doesn't look like a fruit roll-up, yes.
Yep.
I would like to see that, too.
The fruit by the foot title, roll it out, you know, cut shapes out of it.
It looks delicious, though. I'll give the Universal title that.
Definitely looks, strawberry.
It's either strawberry, raspberry, or it could be fruit punch. It could be the fruit punch one.
Or dark cherry.
Nah, it's too late to be dark cherry.
Ah, good point. Cherry? Yeah.
All right. Here's a sleeper for me, and let me know what you guys think. What if Baron Corbin wins this?
Honestly, he's the betting favorite.
He's my favorite.
It's the way they booked him makes him look like the favorite to win the match.
Because think about it this way. SmackDown needs a true blooded heel. Kevin Owens is a heel, but he's a fan favorite heel.
I'm going
to
be honest.
He still gets cheers. Baron Corbin has potential to walk out of here Money in the Bank champion and get legitimate boos from the crowd. He already does.
Right.
He already does.
And I know Mike has his issues with Corbin. He thinks he's starting to slip into Orton territory.
Have you heard his promos? You could play what Corbin says in the middle of Randy Orton's dead air, and then you can have his dead air filled in by Randy Orton's talking.
He has gotten into a cadence. I'm not going to lie. He's gotten into that kind of thing where he kind of has the same flow. You know, I've got Sami Zayn, and I'll tell you what I'm going to do with that little punk.
I'm going
to want to step.
Yeah.
To Lone Wolf. And it's like, okay, I get that point, but I don't think there's been a better pure heel. Other than probably Miz in WWE. Over the last year, Kevin Owens heel, but when his music hits, listen to
pops,
that pop
pops.
Not a heel
everywhere
pop.
Pops.
Well, okay, that's a you're so good at being a dick,
right? But
it's like Stockholm syndrome.
There's a cheer. There's a people that love that. The thing that I love about Miz is that he has gotten so much better on the mic. He's starting to turn into. And I'll say it right now. He's starting to put in the work on a Hall of Fame career, and he's doing heel work that's proper heel work. People like I like The Miz. I've always liked The Miz, but he's still such a dick.
I honestly think his heel run started once they brought in Maryse. Like, she added a different dimension to the
once
character.
Once Maryse returned to his side, yeah, absolutely. I think his heel work, and especially over the past year and a half, The Miz has been on a roll and on another whole different level, especially with his programs with Jericho, with Dean Ambrose. I think he's a far better suit as Intercontinental Champion than anyone else on the Raw mid-card.
Listen.
The only other person I would love to see hold that title is maybe Cesaro, but that's it. The Miz is the proper IC champion.
That first run, that first program that he had with Ziggler was one of the most entertaining programs all of 2016. It really was one of the best things they did. Yep. And that's saying something when, you know, Ziggler, you know, current day Ziggler is part of an entertaining program. Because to me, Ziggler is... he's a snooze fest at this point.
Okay.
I cannot get into Ziggler. I don't know what he's doing. I don't know if they know what he's doing. I think at this point, he's just cashing in checks.
Yeah.
He can oversell and steal all of HBK's moves. Outside of that, I don't know what he does.
And honestly,
what was it you say you do here?
So yeah, I feel Corbin is slowly creeping into Randy Orton territory. And I'll be honest, he gets some heel heat, but he doesn't exactly, he's not like exactly being booted out of the building. And when he does get heel heat, it's typically for attacking someone who's universally loved. So is it more them booing the heel, or is it more booing the face getting beat up? And I honestly, if he's put in against someone who's not as well liked by the crowd, will he still get the same heat?
But here's the thing. To be a proper heel, you have to kick the shit out of the baby face. I mean, that's heel 101, you know what I mean? So, yeah, they're booing him because he's beating the shit out of somebody that they love. Well, yeah, that's what he's supposed to do.
The problem is, though, right now his vocal delivery, like, doesn't put him in the place where he can maintain that for reasons other than that.
Right. I mean, I don't know. I mean,
I check out during a Corbin promo at this point.
I still like him. I still dig him. And
still have hope.
I honestly think they need to be careful with how they build him up as a heel, because what I'm worried about with him, aside from the Orton type promos that he's doing, is that people might be booing the fact that someone else didn't win if he wins Money in the Bank than the fact that he won, which hurts him as a heel, because then it's not him getting the heat. Because there were some recent episodes of SmackDown where he really got nothing as far as reaction goes.
I think I can see the worry about that, because I think everybody's going to want Sammy to win. The reason I have Corbin as my guy to win Money in the Bank is, and this will be my final point with it, the reason I have him winning that is the same reason why I think Carmella's going to win the women's one, is that it's that up-and-coming talent. It's somebody that we have to see if they can grow. They've done well. They've gotten better since they've been up here. Let's see how they do with a championship / not a championship run. See how they carry themselves with it, and let's see how it goes. I think that's what we're looking at. The only reason that gives me pause that makes me think that he may not is that we have a heel champion right now with Jinder, but I still think that, again, you have a year to figure that out and try to find a way to put it in storyline.
I honestly don't know if he has the staying power to be a top heel for too long. What I think happens, though, I mean, the way they're booking it, I think they're probably going to give him the win. And I think they're probably going to have Cena be the one to beat Jinder, and then right after is when Corbin cashes in.
That'd be interesting. And that would be interesting, and I'd actually like it. And I'd like to see what Cena could do for a Baron Corbin run. Because we've seen Cena work. Cena can work in a ring. I'd like to see if he could give Corbin a bit of a rub and see how that works.
You know who does have potential to be a top heel and stay as a top heel? Roman Reigns. Whether we like it or not, Roman Reigns is the top heel of Monday Night Raw. All you have to do is just watch that crowd react on the Raw after WrestleMania, where he beat The Undertaker and sent him into retirement.
I soak in the boos that happen when his theme plays.
He, not only did he soak in the boos, he played that crowd like a fiddle, and he didn't even say anything. He said one sentence, "This is my yard now." After 5 to 7 minutes of him grabbing the mic, bringing it to his mouth, and everyone just boo, and then let it down, let them chant one more thing, fuck off or row, man sucks, which is amazing, by the way, when people do that. Yeah. And then he raises the mic to his mouth again, boo. He played that crowd so well. And the reason why I bring this up is I have a couple tweets from Roman Reigns, because Roman on TV is the typical boring bully type of guy who's boring on TV. But when he's on Twitter, Roman Reigns is extremely entertaining. For instance, here's a tweet right here. A guy named @HeelDegenerate tweets him, LOL, geez. Okay, sweetie, here's a tip. Some of us don't like WWE or their BS politics. We're happier where we're at.
Now, if I could just interject here real quick, that guy, HeelDegenerate, doing that, he is a wrestling trainee. He's not even a full-fledged wrestler yet.
Right.
And he's like, let me give you a tip. Some of us like it where we are. You didn't even goddamn start yet, asshole.
Yeah, that'd be like if Lonzo Ball's dad was saying stuff about how his son is better than Legends. Oh, wait.
And Roman's response, let me, all caps, give you a tip, amateur. WWE is the top of the mountain in pro wrestling. A view you'll never deserve or get to enjoy. #facts. Bravo, Roman.
Yeah, you know what? Like, if someone who actually was an indie wrestler who had any kind of momentum tweeted that to Roman Reigns, I would have been more okay with it, because at least they're like, they have a trajectory. But when you're paying money to take bumps, when you're at that stage, shut the fuck up.
Another tweet to him. You know,
God damn it, I'm defending something Roman Reigns did.
I'm defending Roman Reigns here, guys, so Smarks.
He's 100% right in this.
I'm not even going to read their name. I'm going to read their username. At Servin' Fools tweets.
Just got served by Roman Reigns.
He certainly did. And your sorry ass was positioned at the top thanks to family. You were handed your position. You never earned it. Roman Reigns' response. Yeah, I guess working my butt off for 5 days, 5 days a week while being away from my wife and kids for the last 7 years is being handed it. Hashtag dumbass Mark. Roman Reigns is an amazing follow on Twitter. The guy knows how to have fun with the fans and shut down idiot smarks out there. And one final one.
Oh, God.
At FX7 Scorpion tweets, how about the other guys that work their butt off and get away from their wife and kids for years, too, and still jobbing? Referring to guys like maybe Cesaro or Daniel Bryan early on. Roman Reigns. Oh, yeah. Confused emoji. I forgot they are, quote, jobbing for free. Teary-eyed emoji. Clueless hashtag dumbass Mark. By the way, all our schedules and responsibilities aren't the same. Hashtag B2R. Roman Reigns, you know what? You just earned a follow. I am now following.
Right here on Kev Crusher Radio, ladies and gentlemen, Hammy has followed Roman Reigns.
It's Roman's yard on Twitter, and we're all just in his yard.
Breaking news, Maggle. Hammy followed Roman, Maggle. Here's a 1960s baseball reference for you.
Here's the thing. I've been meaning to want to say this for a while, for a real long time, since probably before WrestleMania, when everybody kept on saying, well, man, you got to turn Roman heel. They've got to turn him heel. He's got to turn heel. Why isn't he turning heel yet? They got to turn him heel.
He already is.
I sat down and I thought to myself, and my argument that I was making to people on Twitter, on Facebook, wherever I could, was why would you turn him heel when he already is, for all intents and purposes, the top heel in WWE? When his music hits, like we were just talking about before with Kevin Owens, when Kevin Owens' music hit, you hear the When it first hits, everybody cheers and loves it. You know, with some of the other heels, their music hits.
All right.
When Roman Reigns' music hits, it is the loudest and most universal booing you will ever hear. I have not heard a heel get booed like that maybe ever. Like, I would probably have to go back to my early days of watching in the 80s during the rock and wrestling era to think of a heel getting booed like that. Like, maybe Piper, but even Piper had his lovers back then.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
God, imagine the 80s with the internet.
He has pissed off everybody. Roman Reigns is the most universally felt about character in WWE, and universally outside of the kids. And I think even some of the kids don't like him. You know, but he's universally hated. Not just hated, but loathed.
Why would you change that character?
Who he is now is everybody think, oh, well, he's the chosen one. He's the one that Vince wants. They're going to push him to the moon. You know what? Run with that. Push his ass to the moon. Give him opportunities that he doesn't deserve and just piss everybody off. Because every time he comes down that ramp, every time his music hits, every time he does a Superman punch or a stupid drive-by or that lame-ass spear, the place is going to want to just tear him apart. It's gonna be Bash at the Beach with Hogan every single night. People are just gonna throw stuff at him. Nobody likes him, and that's what makes him perfect. So if you turn him heel, you'll get the smarks who then like him. Finally they turned him heel. Oh, it's gonna be so great. No way. You make him do heelish stuff. Make him be an annoying asshole, but still have him be the company man and smiling.
He already did. He beat The Undertaker at WrestleMania.
Yeah. All right.
I've got a couple.
And then said, this is my yard now. What other heel thing can you do?
I've got a couple responses to you guys. But first, I want to point out, could you imagine if there was an internet in the 80s and we would have Son of a Plumber 24 commenting on a message board? Oh, of course, Hogan won again. He had to bury Piper.
So, do you know how many cocaine selfies there would have been in the wrestling Twitter of the
1980s? I mean, we can already do that. You know, the whole Sergeant Slaughter and Iron Sheik. I mean, that's already in every comment section on political posts ever.
Yep.
It's already there.
Break your back, make you humbled. Let me do rail.
Hey, Duggan, is that the cop?
Dude, by the way, that Sheik documentary, if anybody...
Fantastic.
Yeah, you gotta watch it. That is the greatest thing ever.
So, my response to some of the stuff you guys were saying, yes, Hammy, the way Roman handled that the day after WrestleMania was great, but then WWE's creative shit all over that a week later. Well, you know, I feel bad, duh. No, like, don't, like, the whole reason it worked the week before was because you didn't give a shit.
Let me pose this question to you guys real quick here. Is Braun Strowman as big as he is now? Like, obviously he's huge, but I mean, is he as big as he is or as over his ears with the crowd now without Roman Reigns being the Roman Reigns that we have now?
I think Roman helped him get as big as he is because the whole I'm not finished with you yet.
I think
having Roman be that kind of just character that everybody hated, I think absolutely aided and helped in Braun Strowman getting to the point where he's as big as he is now. And can you imagine when we finally hear Strowman's music hit again?
Oh, the place is going to erupt.
That is, the roof's going off.
I mean, also
Royal Rumble, then.
Also, you got to give credit to Braun Strowman, though, because he's improved so much in the short time he's in wrestling.
He went from a silent, masked guy in the Wyatt family to now being one of the most beloved people on Monday Night Raw. And honestly, with how awful Monday Night Raw was this week, we could use Braun Strowman back.
Hey, listen, they said the whole, I think it's kayfabe that it's 6 months. I think it's actually more towards 6 weeks with his elbow surgery. Am I right on that, Mike?
I'm saying like more 6 weeks.
I say he's back at Royal Rumble or Survivor Series.
Royal Rumble's all the way in January. Yeah, I think he's back by SummerSlam.
Yeah, they're already saying like Brock's next opponent will be at SummerSlam.
Oh, they're already teasing it?
Right. No, that's because he's not really going to be out 6 months. They just did that because they wanted to be like, oh my God, he came out earlier than expected.
Because here's the deal. Roman Reigns is coming back on Monday Night Raw this week to announce his SummerSlam plans. What if when he comes out to announce his plans and be all smug? Oh, come on. That place is going to go nuts. I'd love to see that.
I'm not finished yet. Kills Reigns.
All right, guys.
And then they do a number one contenders match between Reigns and Braun kills him.
God, wouldn't that be great? Well, no, you want Reigns heel? You just get Roman Reigns to beat Strowman.
Why? He's already healing enough. He beat The Undertaker.
Remember the things people were saying on Twitter and everything during Backlash? They were like, if Roman Reigns actually beats Braun Strowman, I might actually murder a puppy. I think that was a tweet I actually did read. If Roman would have won there, I might have even been like, you know what, this is too far. That's way too much.
By the way, one thing I'm happy about, kind of on topic, but kind of not. They've been talking about Samoa Joe versus Lesnar will probably be a one-off unless the hype around it draws well enough.
The hype is already there.
Yeah.
It's got a huge fight feel to it, man.
Yeah.
And they did exactly what they said they should do. They did the whole Brock Undertaker thing where they got in a ring and then they got everybody down there to try to separate them and get them away from each other. And it was hard to do. That's the perfect way. I think that's the only way to build that kind of match.
And Joe got one over on Lesnar in that segment too.
Yeah.
It was great.
Just like I said, at some point, Joe needs to put, if Lesnar's going to win, just to build it, Joe needs to put Lesnar in the coquina clutch or the cocaine clutch if you're Hammy.
Yeah, the cocaine clutch. Okay, guys, we're going to close out the show with our Money in the Bank predictions. By the way, real quick, before we get to the predictions, I don't know if you guys saw Okada Omega 2 yet. I mean, it is an hour-long match, so it's going to take an hour of your time to watch it. But
I haven't yet because my laptop.
Guys, you need to get out and watch this match. It is, their first match was great. Their first match, I don't think, was match of the year candidate. This match is. This is the best hour-long match I've ever seen. This is better than Shawn Michaels versus Bret Hart at WrestleMania. This is better than Kurt Angle versus Brock Lesnar on SmackDown in 2003. This is better than any Iron Man match I've ever seen. This is the best hour-long match I've ever seen.
It was a good match. I'm not going to lie. I liked it. I thought it was this. It's up there definitely for match of the year candidate. I think the only drawback, and again, it's hard to take a drawback. It's like looking at the Mona Lisa and saying, well, I don't know if I would have done that paint stroke. But
of course you have a drawback, Mr. Smarks love it, so I need to find something wrong with it.
Listen, there's one thing. I do hate the absolute, like, Jack the Jobbers out there. Go, oh, my God, New Japan. Oh.
Listen, Dave Meltzer, relax.
7 out of 5 stars.
If that match were on NXT TakeOver, it would only get 4, though.
Yes, it would.
Oh, God.
But here's the thing, though. Smarks will at least credit WWE for doing something amazing when they do something amazing, whereas Meltzer, like, it was okay.
Yeah, no, I don't know when Vince still knows what's going on there,
Speaking of Vince, one last thing I want to bring up before we do get to Money in the Bank predictions and head out for this week's episode. It is rumored that Vince McMahon is going to be on a table for 3. There is a very strong rumor that he wants to do one of these shows, and who should be on the table with Vince McMahon?
Oh, God.
One of them has to be Hulk Hogan.
No.
It has to be.
With me, if I'm doing that, if I'm trying to book it, I think you do it with 2 other people. I think you do it with Paul Heyman, and I think you do it with Billionaire Ted.
Oh, I don't think Ted would agree to it.
WWE,
WCW, ECW. I think you do. But I think you're that.
You can't. Ted won't, but Bischoff would.
Yeah, Bischoff.
Bischoff already did one. So.
Man,
I would like to have seen the owners do it. I would like to have seen that. But I don't like you said, I don't think Ted will do it. But that's some good fantasy booking from my part. Anyway, I'd love to see that.
I want the unedited cut of the creative committee table for 3.
That'd be just to see what Cornette said that they had a cut.
Oh, that's Simon. Fuck Vince Russo.
Dude, they totally shit on Russo that whole show anyway. I can imagine how much they had to cut from that.
And I told him, listen, motherfucker, stop worrying about the Sable t-shirt spot. What are we going to do with fucking Dale Wilkes?
If you had your choice, Sammy, who you got in there with Vince?
Oh, man. I was originally going to say Hulk Hogan and maybe, like, Austin or something. Or, yeah, I would say Hogan and Austin, but...
What about?
I wasn't even thinking of behind the scenes. I was thinking with him and like two of his 2 biggest stars ever.
Could be, yeah. I could see them
But you just brought it, dude. Him, Ted Turner, and Paul Heyman at the same table would be like that. That is our childhood right there. That is it.
That's in your head now. That's not going away, is it?
That ain't going away.
Or what about Vince, Bret Hart, and Shawn Michaels?
Wow, that's a good one, too.
Yeah.
Or, should we just list Vince and everyone else who pissed off throughout the years?
Yes.
Vince and everybody.
Vince, the Iron Sheik, and the ghost of Vern Gagne.
if Vince doesn't walk into that restaurant doing a billionaire strut, it's not worth it anyway.
By the way, that fuck Conor McGregor took Vince's strut and now says it's his.
He said, I do it better. I love it. I'm sorry.
King's like, I don't disagree with him.
I don't. How can you? The guy did it, you know? Fucking Homer. Are you what you want?
Or what about, and I know he was on one before, but just what about Vince Cornette and Kevin Dunn?
Jesus Christ.
Oh, no. I don't know if the microphone can take Kevin Dunn.
Oh, that's bullshit, motherfucker. You just don't want me to talk to you.
I have hurt feelings. You know, I don't know what happened when my father did something to help Vince. I got a job for life.
You're only here because you, what was it? Because you saved some, your dad saved some fucking tapes.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah, I want to know what that story is about, because Kevin Dunn is the goddamn worst, man.
Him and Kevin Dunn become buddies because he finds out Kevin Dunn didn't like Russo either.
Hey, Kevin, do another crowd shot. That's something we all fucking love.
Hey, do a crowd shot at the most inopportune times, Kevin Dunn.
Boring to... Yeah, that's great. Show the crowd being bored off their ass off your goddamn sorry ass Monday Night Raw product, you piece of shit. Sorry. Wow, I got angry there.
Yeah, you did. Wow.
I don't like Kevin Dunn.
I feel vindicated now for getting angry earlier. Anyway.
Do you, Hammy? Do you?
All right.
You always get angry.
I do. But what I'm not angry for is Money in the Bank this Sunday. We are going to close the show with our predictions. Let's start first with SmackDown Women's Champion Naomi versus Lana. We talked about this match. The real question is, how improved is Lana going to be? I pick Naomi to win this. I think this is a very easy pick.
I'm gonna do a swerve with my predictions.
Oh,
I'm gonna do my prediction, and then I'm gonna do my other good table for threes with Vince McMahon. So I've got Naomi winning because, I mean, let's be obvious. It's a no brainer. They're not gonna put it on Lana. I will try to do a cartwheel if Lana wins. And also, a good pairing for Vince on table for three would be Vince, Sonny, and Sable.
Jesus Christ. Okay.
Just for the weirdness. All right, your predictions.
Naomi. I think that's
a very easy pick.
Easy.
The next match on the card, this is in no particular order. A match we didn't even talk about in this episode because we were too busy bitching about copyright infringement. The Usos are taking on the New Day for the SmackDown Tag Team Championship. Honestly, I see the New Day going over here. I think it's a classic. They just returned. They are now in a title shot. They just came back and they're going to win. I have no intelligent comment about this match. I just think the New Day is going to win.
The only way New Day doesn't win this match is if they're saving them winning the tag titles for SummerSlam. And my guess is if they don't win the tag titles tonight, it'll be them winning by DQ or some goofy shit like that.
I mean, they are the face of Money in the Bank. I mean, the Money in the Bank logo is them with the rainbow over ladders looking like the Oz, the city of Oz. So that's pretty creative, if I must say.
I mean, if we want to gauge, whose hometown is it in this match?
Randy Orton.
Oh, well, we'll go into that later. Match.
No. Is anybody from St. Louis?
These guys? I don't think so.
No, I don't think so. I pick the New Day. Mike, who do you pick?
I'm picking the New Day. Not sure whether it's winning the titles or by DQ or something. And another table for three would be Vince, Nails, and Mantar, just because Nails tried to choke him.
God, I hate you. I'm gonna go with the Usos with some underhanded heel, dirty uggo tactics.
I could see that too.
I'm sorry. I don't know who the Usos are. Do you mean the Busos?
The Uggos. I'm sorry. I said the Uggos.
Yeah, shoot. Their day one is definitely H.
Their day one is going to be H on this day. I can tell you that. So I think through some shenanigans, I think the Usos retain the titles. And I think it does go to SummerSlam. We might even get a triple threat at SummerSlam with the Uggos, New Day, and maybe Fashion Police. So I don't know. We'll see.
God, I would love to see Breezango walk out with the titles. The next match, again, no particular order of the card. Becky Lynch versus Charlotte Flair versus Natalya versus Tamina Snuka versus Carmella.
Women's Money in the Bank. Jesus.
Women's Money in the Bank. I like to list the participants.
I'm going to say Carmella. It just makes too much sense. And no table for three because the dead horse already looks like it had a Negan visit.
Thank you fuck for that.
The death 10 minutes ago.
Eeny, meeny, miny, moe.
I'm going with Carmella too. I think it's just she seems to be the one with the brightest star on her right now, as far as the one most able to grow, and they want to kind of see what she does with it. So Carmella, it seems to be the obvious choice right here.
Also, in terms of booking, she's kind of been the most under the radar one.
Yeah, and it's usually the one you want to go with.
Yep, I completely agree. I think all three of us so far are almost unanimous with our picks so far.
The Usos, I got you different on the Usos.
You got different on the Usos, but
the
Busos. I am also picking Carmella in this match. I think it makes the most sense, and I hope this is a a stepping out point to get the pimple on my ass away from her. I hope that she could separate herself from
Ellsworth,
James Ellsworth.
From better things, he's going on to the championship glory. Duh.
He's going to shuck and jive as he's bringing out Carmella with a women's title.
Yeah, that's what it. James Ellsworth, he is the white slick.
James Ellsworth is going to go to her and go, Carmella, baby, I am your hucklebuck.
That is such a good Dusty impression.
Oh,
because I'm the American Dream, James Ellsworth, baby.
It really is. That is a dead-on Dusty.
And he is a dead-on American Dream. He should not be in WWE, but he is.
There he is. It's good to know the right people.
Someone who you didn't think would ever be signed by WWE, and when they sign him, they put him in ridiculous clothing.
Yes. All right. Captain Steroids Jinder Mahal versus Randy Orton in Randy Orton's hometown, which we all know what this means. Randy Orton is losing this match. Jinder Mahal is going to go over. Why would you pick Randy Orton in this? I mean, unless by some miracle they decide to let the hometown person walk out champion, which they never ever do.
They did that last Raw pay per view with Rich Swann winning. So they
say Rich Swann won the last one. So I don't. I think they've used up their hometown waiver once. That's already used up for the year. So
they gave it to Rich Swann. So Jinder Mahal is winning. I mean, and that's another one I'm worrying about, because like it had potential when he did the speech after, like his celebration speech, but the fans at the arena aren't taking into it as much. Like, I don't know, it's almost like this last SmackDown, they were almost a little colder to it until he started saying, you are ignorant because I am different and here's my native language of Punjabi.
But see, here's the thing, with this latest SmackDown, he gave probably the best promo that he's given since he's gotten this run.
It's
up to and with the belt. It was fantastic. It wasn't the anti-American, you all hate me because you're ignorant and I look different, that's why you hate me. It wasn't that. It was, you know, Randy Orton is, you know, he's the past. He was the legend killer, but now he's the legend and I'm here, and he's, you know, he's the virus and I'm the antidote and all. I mean, it was genius. It was fantastic. And I don't know if it was just a bad crowd or they just or whatever it was, but it was the most captivating promo that Jinder Mahal has done since.
I completely agree.
I was taken aback. I was like, more of that. If Jinder does more of that, I think this run has a lot of potential. Will he ever be a memorable champion? I don't know, but I think he can be a good champion. I think he can be serviceable, especially if he keeps this up. And from, again, what I hear from dirt sheets and everything like that, and I'm sure you guys have read some of that. Randy seems to be behind him on this, and you know, in the back anyway, seems to support him. So I see Jinder winning, and I see, you know, I see him kind of moving on with this kind of thing. But as long as he kind of gets away from the xenophobic stuff and kind of moves more towards the, you know, just I'm just that much better than everybody else. I am the rich Punjabi, you know, the modern day Maharaja, you know, push all that, do that. I think it's perfect.
Yeah. I mean, notice though, my worry wasn't about anything he's doing, unlike the whole thing with Corbin and his promos. It had more to do with the crowd taking to it.
Yeah.
The crowd doesn't always, like, if someone's doing something good, the crowd doesn't always take to it as well.
Right.
So that's why I'm saying that's where my worry was. But no, he's definitely Jinder, Randy Orton.
It's not even a question of that it's in Randy's hometown or not, although that's kind of a big wink and a nod.
Yeah.
But I just think, I don't think they take it off of him this quickly. I think they've put a lot into this India push, and I think Jinder's put in a lot of work. I think Jinder's put in a lot of effort into this. Steroids or not, you know, nothing's been proven yet.
Hey, so he's put a lot of work.
That's a big old hashtag allegedly.
Hashtag.
You know, that is a big allegedly, but, you know, he's very vascular all of a sudden.
Hey, you do have to move around to get to the locker room to meet the weird guy in the hoodie with the duffel bag. Hashtag allegedly.
And finally, our main event of the evening, United States Champion Kevin Owens, AJ Styles, Baron Corbin, Sami Zayn, Dolph Ziggler, and Shinsuke Nakamura, Men's Money in the Bank ladder match.
And Men's Money in the Bank.
I am picking the lone wolf Baron Corbin to win this. That is my pick, although I would not be surprised if Sami Zayn got it, because I think if anyone needs this more than anybody, it's Sami Zayn. I think Sami Zayn needs this win more than Baron Corbin, but if Baron Corbin wins this, I think he is in a very good position to establish himself as the next top heel on SmackDown Live. So I'm cheering for Sami Zayn, but I'm picking Baron Corbin.
Honestly, my heart says Kevin Owens, because let's be honest. I mean, Sami Zayn as well was one that, I mean, he probably needs it, but I think he'll eventually get his time. I think he the whole thing with the whole backstage talking stuff, it's starting to work with him, but I don't think they give it to him yet. I think they're going to hitch their wagons to Corbin, which, again, I think could wind up blowing up in their face. But so, I think they do eventually end up giving it to Corbin, even though I think they should give it to Kevin Owens, because he could make that work with the cash-in and being a dick about it.
Oh, I completely agree.
Whereas, I don't want someone to have to take 5 minutes to say the words Money in the Bank.
But I think the obvious choice would be Kevin Owens, and I think and that's why I'm not picking him.
But he's not the obvious choice. The obvious choice is Baron Corbin.
I think what we're all missing here is the fact that I think what they've been trying to cultivate is the obvious choice being Shinsuke, especially with having him grab the briefcase on.
Yeah,
but we all know you're not winning
on the wrap on the go home show that you're not
getting
over.
But the average fan doesn't know that.
That's usually the general way to go with that. Kevin Owens is it wouldn't bother me, but I don't think he needs it. Sami Zayn, while I think he could use it, I think he's at a point where the fans love him no matter what. So he can eat losses still. He can be, although he hasn't been doing that with Corbin. And I think it sets up an interesting dynamic if you have Corbin win the Money in the Bank
and then win the title,
have Sami be able to beat him and be his bugaboo. I think you could have a very interesting program all the way to Survivor Series, or maybe even longer between those two. So as much as Sami Zayn would feel okay with the Money in the Bank, I don't think they give it to him. I don't think Ziggler's got a shot. I don't think AJ Styles is going to win it.
He doesn't need it.
I'm with Hammy on this one, where I think the place to go is Baron Corbin. I think Baron has the most upside. I think they want to see how he acts with the case, the same way kind of with Carmella with the women. They want to see how he can be in that kind of main event role. He's had a taste of it once or twice, and I think he's done well with it. I don't agree so much with Mike how he's becoming Orton-ish. I'm not sure if I agree with that. I can see kind of where his cadence and how he speaks a little bit might remind you of that. But I don't see him. He's not on a boring level to me. And when he's on the screen, I'm interested. I'm still invested. I'm not like, oh, Jesus Christ.
For now, I am still invested in Baron Corbin.
So I have to go with Corbin. I think Corbin wins this match.
I'll do some long-term fantasy booking real quick before with Corbin winning the Money in the Bank briefcase, though. I think Cena beats Mahal eventually for his 17th title reign. Corbin cashes in. Once he wraps up the shit with Cena, Sami Zayn is his next feud, because Sami Zayn's been beating him so much. Sami's like, oh, well, you're a champion. Well, I beat you a lot. Eventually, Corbin loses to either Shinsuke or AJ Styles, and whoever beats him for that title of those two takes it to WrestleMania, where Shinsuke and AJ face each other.
That's not a bad fantasy booking. I think the WrestleMania 34 main event is AJ Styles versus Shinsuke Nakamura. It has to be.
And it'll be a 6-star match that Meltzer gives 4 stars.
Here's the thing. I don't get my hopes up with that, because WWE booking has always been known to kind of fluctuate. And especially when fans expect something and want something, they usually try to make sure that doesn't happen. So I will wait with bated breath. If that does happen, I will be excited. If they let them do what they can do and what they've done in New Japan, I'll be excited for it. But for now, I think I'll just leave it be. And I'm excited to see where Baron and Sammy go after this. I think that's one of the better programs and better feuds going on right now in WWE. That's how I'll end this one. Baron and Sammy, to me, is an exciting program. I'm excited to see where it goes.
I will say with AJ and Nakamura, if they're going to do a match that touches their New Japan match that they had, it would be WrestleMania. That's where they're given a little more freedom to work the kind of style that they would want to win, because Vince, obviously, they get more time, and Vince wants it big. Especially
yeah,
if
I know, it'll be another 17-hour goddamn marathon of wrestling. God.
And you're complaining why?
The Ultimate Thrill Ride again, guys.
Once in a lifetime. Okay.
Yeah. Hey, WrestleMania 34 was like a thrill ride, like being on the line for one for 6 hours.
Oh God, it was
so a typical day at Disneyland. Okay. Yeah. All right, guys, that is our show. I want to thank you all for listening and watching. You can follow me on Twitter at HamsGruber. You can follow Mike at Michael R. Falcone. You can follow King at King on the Air. You can follow the show at Calf Crusher Pod on Twitter. And like the page at facebook.com/Calf Crusher Pod. Full episodes are posted on SoundCloud/Calf Crusher Radio immediately after the conclusion of the show. And video portion on YouTube. We will more than likely be live at the conclusion of Money in the Bank this Sunday, but if we're not, I deeply apologize, because I will just be coming back from my camping trip. So
you might be tuckered.
I might be a little tired. With that, this is Calf Crusher Radio. This has been Calf Crusher Radio. Thank you so much for listening. We will see you next week.